seat, church. That'd be great. Just before we get stuck into God's word, just a few things just to bring your attention to. Just a few things. Firstly, just to say that there's an informal members meeting for church members on Monday the 26th of March. Apologies that it's in Holy Week, but just for availability of those who need to be there, it needs to be that day. So we should have received it by email. If you haven't, look in your pigeonholes today. And that's an opportunity for us to gather together. And as the staff say, I say this a lot, have an adult conversation together, seeking God about the future in terms of our new ministerial appointments. So if you could make yourself available for that, apologies for the lateness of it, but we really want to have a conversation with you about that. Also, just to say about Easter, there's lots that we can be involved in on Easter. Monday, Thursday, there's a children's reflection. It's all in the bulletin. And an adult reflection. Good Friday, we're hosting the Israeli churches together, meeting here. God bless us. Bless us for doing that. We had a meeting with them all this week, and God bless us for doing that. Easter, I had to lead the meeting, so you'll understand. Basically, come to that. Easter Saturday, we're going to give out lots of Easter eggs as well again, so please come and join us to do that. Easter Sunday, 9 till 10. We're going to have bacon rolls and tea and coffee to start the day. So if you want to have bacon rolls and tea and coffee, you need to sign up on the sign-in list here, okay? Next year, I think it'll be on Church Suite and we'll let you do it all online. But for the time being, sign up there if you want to come along. And because Jonathan and Ricky are preaching on that day and I'm not, I'm the chef that morning. So if you'd like to help me cook the bacon rolls, which aren't really good for you, by the way, just want to put that out there. Just so you know, just want to be honest with you. But if you want to come, we'll give you some oranges and apples if you don't like the bacon rolls. But if you want to help me do that, look, you can come and help me. So sign up there. Is that all right, Mr. Conway? Yeah, Mr. Hooper and the rest of you. So do that. There's some flyers here as well about Easter. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later on. But let's get inviting our friends to those. Easter Sunday evening, Easter Sunday morning, we're going to have a celebration. And Easter Sunday evening, we're going to baptize 3 people, we think. There may be more. We're praying for more. And if you haven't already been baptized, would you speak to one of the ministers or one of the elders about that? We'd love you to do that. I think that's it. If I've forgotten any notices, apologies. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, just pray now that as we come to your word, that you would speak. Lord, open our ears to hear. Open our conscience to understand. And may we be people that are willing to do the things that Christ has called us to do. Lord, I'm very conscious this morning in my own life, there is much that is distracting me today. And Lord, I place all those things at the foot of your cross. And I said, Lord, would you take them away? And would you, by your Spirit, use me this morning to speak to your people? If there's things that I shouldn't say, would you take those things away too? Amen. So we're going to finish our series. So I'm not going to go back of what we've done, when we've done it, because Ricky did that so helpfully last week. But basically, just to say to you, we're at the end. All these are online. If you haven't listened to them, all the teaching notes for you to do in your life groups are available. Sorry for the lateness in that, but there's a resource there. So we're coming to the end of this series, and then we're going to have a little bit of a break. Palm Sunday, Easter, and then a couple of one-offs, and then we're going to head into the Book of Revelations next. Fantastic. To look at seven things that we need to understand as a church to help us be strong in these days ahead. And so we're going to go through the Book of Revelation, and I'm really excited about that. We as ministers are studying that, and we're going to be reading some books this week about it as well, and hope to teach you well. So we come to the end here. If we can have the screen up as well, that'd be fantastic, the old PowerPoint thing. Do I have to press something, or should it be there? There we are. So we've done all these things. So today we're looking at what's your style. And so we come to the last one in the series. And I want to talk to us today about honest evangelism. It's a really great guy who works at Holy Trinity Brompton has wrote a really fantastic book about honest evangelism. It's about being yourself. And I want to talk about this subject this morning, about what it means to be ourselves. You see, the reality is this, that God has called you to be you, and God has called me to be me in Christ Jesus. We are all called individually, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful there's only one of me in the world, and maybe you're grateful that there's only one of you in the world too. But God has called you to be you and me to be me in Jesus Christ. God calls us to be who we are in Jesus Christ. Now, he calls us to do that on many different levels and many understandings. But today I want to look at what's your style? What does it mean to be honest with yourself in evangelism and to be yourself in evangelism? Because the reality, personality, gifts, experience, and life skills, we've all got different personalities, we've all got different gifts, we've all got different experiences, and we've all got different life skills. But the reality is this, we've all got something to give. We've all got something to give. God has placed in us these things that he wants us to use to glorify him and to build up his kingdom. It's not good enough for us not to use the gifts that God has given to us. Because God himself gave his only son and sacrificed his son to give life and eternity to all of us in this room that have accepted Jesus. And because of that, we have to use the gifts that God has given us, and the personality that God has given us, and the experiences God has given us, and the life gifts that God has given us to build his kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks about the body. It talks about different parts of the body. We're not going to look at that this morning, but you know, if you're an ear, be an ear. If you're a leg, be a leg. If you're not a leg, don't be a leg. And if you're not an arm, don't be an arm. Don't try and be somebody that you're not. Let me tell you, it doesn't work to try and be somebody that you are not, because people will see through that pretty clearly. I often say to the ministers in this church, you know, people want us to be something else than we are sometimes, but we have to be honest to the calling of God in our lives and be who God has called us to be. And it's the same is true for all of you. People might not like that. But actually, God wants you to be that type of person, because there's other people in the world that are like you that God wants to use you to help them to see Jesus. And so often in churches, when we've got people who are bold and brash and are people who are different than us, but we sometimes, if they're a bit too loud or they're a bit too opinionated, and sometimes we can quiet them down a little bit. But actually, God needs everybody to be who God's called them to be, because there's lots of different people in the world. So I want to say to you today this. Be yourself in Christ for the sake of Christ. Be yourself in the gospel for the sake of the gospel. Be yourself in Christ for the sake of Christ. Know who you are in Christ and be that person. And don't let anybody rob you of it. So easy to say, but people will try and rob you of that. But don't let them. Talk to myself. Don't let them. Be yourself in the gospel for the sake of the gospel. Do you understand the point I'm trying to say is this? Be who God has called you to be. Think about people that led you to Jesus. You know, I don't know, we've been thinking a lot about some great evangelists in our world at the moment, but actually the reality is that probably none of us, maybe some of us might have been led to faith by Billy Graham, and some of us may have been led to faith by lots of other key, big, national, worldwide evangelists, but actually the majority of us, as many of us in this room, would have come to faith because of this, because normal people shared the love of Christ with you and me and shared with us the truth of the gospel. When we think about how we came to faith, it probably is because normal people shared the love of Christ with you and with me, and they shared the truth of the gospel with us. The majority of us would have come to faith because of that. Because there were people around us or people in our places where we lived who they themselves were being Christ for the sake of Christ. And they themselves were being themselves for the sake of the gospel. You know, and actually, you know, yeah, it's great that there's loads of evangelists around the world that preach the gospel and all the rest. That's fantastic. But if we want to save people in Rayleigh and in Holbridge and Hockley and the other surrounding areas, God calls us to be ourselves. Be yourself for Christ for the sake of Christ. Be yourself for the gospel for the sake of gospel. The gospel. I'm so thankful to God for a normal person who lived a few doors down from me, that shared the love of Christ with me and the truth of the gospel with me. Drove my parents insane, but actually took me to a place of understanding the gospel and understanding Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know how I would get through life some days without Jesus. Is it just me? Or some of you in that same position? You see, normal people is what God wants. Normal people that share the love of Christ with those around them and shares the truth of the gospel. You know, sometimes we can be good at sharing love. You know, let's share the love. So many people and so many individuals and so many churches are good at sharing the love. And that's good. It's good to share the love. But we've got to share the truth of the gospel. We've got to share the truth of salvation. We've got to share what Jesus has done for them. I had the privilege yesterday morning to be with some of the men in this church at a CVM meeting in Rayleigh at the Evan Church. It's tiny, isn't it? We're all squashed up like sardines, weren't we? It was yesterday, and about 10 of us went, and we had the privilege of seeing some men come forward, and some men received Jesus for the first time. It was just like, oh, Lord, my spirit jumped for joy because my eyes haven't seen that for such a long time. But you see, that person who presented himself yesterday, he presented himself as a copper who became a criminal who now works for CVM. Great. But he has a powerful testimony, and he shared a bit of that. But also, he shared the truth of the gospel. And at that point, God's Spirit intervened. And I think about 8 people yesterday that came forward for the first time gave their life to Christ. Amen? You see, the Holy Spirit puts the fruit of Christ in those people who he calls. So actually, many of us in this room would have heard the gospel through normal people that share the love of Christ with you and the truth of the gospel. But they were usually people that were full of the fruit of the Spirit. They were people who tried to mimic the character of Jesus. It's really hard sometimes to be like Jesus, isn't it? Respond to me, church. We're here. Let's go through this together. The reality is so hard sometimes to be like Jesus. And I don't think there's a single one of us in this room that will say, yeah, it's really easy. It's so hard. But with the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts that God's given us, he asks us to use those for his kingdom and for his glory. We are weak by oneself, but we are powerful with Christ. Absolutely we are. And the sooner I realize that, the sooner you realize that, the sooner we depend on God more, the sooner we'll realize that that is so much more beneficial for the kingdom of God. There is so much that if we just open our eyes a little bit wider, we can see God powerfully at work, both in this place and in this community and in the wider world. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at 4 people, New Testament characters, that actually were 4 very different people when it came to being themselves. The first person I want to look at this morning is Peter. Peter was direct, he was blunt, and he was confrontational. That's who Peter was. The good thing about Peter, he was direct, he was blunt, he was confrontational, but he did it in the love of Jesus. There's a big difference. Because I don't like direct, blunt, and confrontational people. Some say that's me, but I don't think it is. But actually, he was direct and blunt and confrontational. In your Bibles, open them up with me briefly to Acts chapter 2. If you haven't got them, they'll be underneath the seat in front of you. Just listen to these words in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. But before I say that, The same guy that wrote the book, Honest Evangelism, said this. Peter was a bit of this. He was a ready, aim, and fire type of guy. He was a ready, aim, and fire type of guy. But he's got lots of things maybe to teach us. Because some of us might be like Peter's. We might be direct, we might be blunt, and we might be confrontational. In the love of Jesus, with the presence of Jesus helping us in that, if that God, who God has called us to be, then maybe we should be that person. You see, look at what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Men, this is when Peter addressed the crowd after the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. Listen to what it said in verse 23. Well, let me do that before, 23. The man was handed over to you by God, set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put to death by nailing him to the cross. You see, he was directive. He said to them, you did it. It says there pretty clearly in verse 23, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to the cross. You did it. He was so clear. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 says these words. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made him Jesus, and whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He was directive, he was blunt, he was confrontational. He told them how it was. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, it says these words. And know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom Christ raised from the dead, and he stands now healed. You see, Peter was direct and blunt and confrontational, but he did it in a character of love. He wasn't nasty, I don't think. He was just being who God had made him to be. And with the Spirit of God living within them, if we look at all of what Peter did, he was like ready, aim, fire. He was direct. He was direct. He was blunt. He was confrontational. But sometimes when we meet those sorts of people, we're like, ooh, go away from me. I meet them quite a lot in church ministry. But if it's a person who's like that, who is full of love and full of the grace of Jesus, I want to listen to them. I want to listen to them. Might not always listen first time, but I want to listen to them because they're going to tell me something that I need to know, that if they're godly people, is from God. But see what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Let's just read a little bit on. It says, as I just read just a few moments ago, it said this. Listen again. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made Jesus, from whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? Tell us. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit on that day. When we look at Peter, he was himself. He was direct, blunt, and confrontational, but we see that he just told them how it was. But do you see the fruit that he bore at the end? They said, Peter, what shall we do? Those sort of people we usually say, what shall we not do? But he said, what shall we do? He said, repent, be baptized, and follow Jesus. You see, Peter was who Peter was, and praise God for that. And I love the way there that he gets a bit of a raw deal, does Peter, because of the directness of his words. But I love just then at the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 37, we hear they were cut to the heart. Been cut to the heart lately? Any of our friends been cut to the heart lately when we've spoken to them about Jesus? Any of our ones? They were cut to the heart. And their response was, brothers, sisters, what shall I do? So that was Peter. Just saw the time. Goodness me. Let's look at Paul. Paul was a guy of reasoning, arguing, and explaining. Acts chapter 17, verse 2. Would you go there with me just for a few seconds? And then when we get there, before we get there, let me just say this about this person called Paul. Sorry if I get the words a bit of a mistake when I read like this, but forgive me. Paul was a person of reasoning and arguing and explaining. See, he changed his presentation of the gospel depending on who he was talking to. He never changed the gospel. Never changed the gospel. Never changed the truth of the gospel at all. Good old Paul. But he changed the presentation of the gospel depending on who he was talking to. Acts chapter 17, verse 2. As it was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on the third Sabbath day, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. You see, he went into their environment where they were at, the people who just didn't quite understand Jesus. It's a bit of an understatement, but they didn't. But he went and he reasoned with them. He helped them to understand the scriptures. He had a conversation with them, but not ever once did he water down the truth of the gospel or the truth of the scriptures. I need more Pauls in this church. God needs more Pauls in this church. I want to be a little bit more like Paul as well. You see, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. If we look a little bit later on, he goes to Athens. Paul had a good old life, didn't he? And he went on to Athens in Acts chapter 17, verse 17. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. You see, Paul was himself for the sake of Christ. But if you look at the character of Paul, it was about reasoning, about arguing and explaining. But again, Paul did the same as Peter. He did it in the name of Jesus with the character of Jesus behind his skin, inside him. Do you understand? He was who God called him to be. And he reasoned and he argued, but he also explained the truth of Jesus. And he was able to do that like Jesus because what was underneath his skin, the presence of the Spirit of God within him. I haven't got time to read the whole lot, but if we go on and look at verse 22 to 24, we'll see that he starts to have dialogue with them again and again and again. And then they come to the point where Paul left the council and some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Because there he goes on to talk to them about other things in the temple and speaks to them about different characters of Jesus, never once changing who Jesus was, but changing his explanation of Jesus. And I love there when we see in Acts chapter 17, verse 22, and when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council, and some of the people became followers of Paul and believed among them that day. So we look at Peter, you know, they said, what shall we do? Shall we be baptized? But yeah, come on. Paul, who was a guy of reasoning and arguing and explaining, they then said to him, can we follow you? Can we come and understand? And can we come to find out who Jesus really is? The reason I share those two people, because they were being who God had called them to be. And God needs us to be who God has called us to be, not who any pastor tells you to be, or not what any life group leader or any friend tells you to be, not even who your husband or wife tell you to be. Be who God's told you to be for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel. And then I want to look at two other people. I want to look at John chapter 9. Would you turn there with me? John chapter 9, this is this person doesn't have a name. You know, the man born blind in John chapter 9. Oh, I love this story. You love this story, anybody? Maybe just me, I love it. Well, I love every story in here, actually. But the man born blind, he doesn't even have a name. We don't even know his name. Could be Bob, could be Trevor, could be Scott. I don't think it would be any of those names referred to the place he was born. But here was this person, a man born blind. And he wasn't a Paul and a Peter, but he was who God had called him to be. In John chapter 9, verse 24, a second time, they came up to that man who was blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. And he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I know, one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. Amen. I was blind, but now I see. If that doesn't excite the church of Jesus Christ today, what will? I was blind, but now I see. This blind man was blind, and now he sees. One thing I know was his own powerful story. And you know what? Your story is powerful too. Your testimony is powerful too. And we might not be Paul's and Peter's, but God calls us to be who we are, to be our own style. And this blind man just tells his story. Simple as this. I couldn't see, but now I can. Are you sure? Yeah, look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then we tell ourselves that this doesn't happen anymore in the world. Don't let us not be let's not be deceived by that lie of the devil. It happens every day in this world. We just don't open our eyes to see it. And don't tell me that it doesn't happen in this town. Because it does. We just don't open our eyes to see it. Or open our hearts wide enough to have the faith to believe it. It's time to start having the faith to believe the things that God is doing. And not the things that we get told he's not doing. See, his own story was a powerful story. And for those who went on the evangelism course recently, you know, Daniel did a session about sharing your story. I know that was a long session. I heard all about it. But share your story. I say you should only share your story in 3 minutes. If you can't say it in 3 minutes, be quiet. Because so often when we share our testimony, we share so much more about us than we do about Jesus. I could tell you my whole testimony. And I can make it long and big. Or I can say this, I couldn't read and write when I was 13 years of age. People bullied me, picked on me, beat me up, and caused all offenses to me. I came to a living relationship with Jesus, and then, okay, still trying, but now I can read and write. Done. Nobody can deny that. Nobody can take that away from me, because that's my story. Now, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he, calling me to do this job? I tell you, he really does. And none of you will know the amount of hours I spend, but that's another story. But God has called me to do what he's called me to do. You see, I could go on and on with my story, all about poor old me, and this is what happened, and it was because When we share our story, so often we talk about ourselves more than we need to, because we love to do that, don't we? But let's just talk about the thing that Jesus has done. I once was blind and now I see. What did the people around say? Oh my goodness. Let's have a bit of that. If that God that can do that to you, well, maybe he could also change my life. You see, the blind man who has no name but has a massive, powerful testimony. Your testimony might not be as powerful as that, but your testimony has power to bring people closer to Jesus, and then Jesus has the power to save them. If you don't believe that, people, you better start believing that right now, because that is the truth of the Word of God, and that's the truth of Scripture. Share your story. What was I like before? What did Jesus Christ do in me? What difference does it make? And share it. We have to listen to so many other things in this world. Why can't we share our story? We maybe don't have such a dramatic story as this story, but we have a story that God wants us to share. Because God wants us to be ourselves. What is your style? Be who God has called you to be. Be honest and authentic. Don't try and be somebody you're not. but just be you. But Scott, I grew up in church and I've been coming to church for all my life and I just became a Christian. Do you know what? That story speaks to somebody as well. The blind man seeing, that will speak to somebody. The boy who couldn't read or write, who then could, that will speak to somebody. Every single one of our stories has the power to speak into people's lives. But you know what? So often they don't. And the reason they don't is because we never tell anybody about them. The reason they don't is because we never tell anybody about them. When's the last time I told somebody my story? Too long. Because I'm busy talking about other stories, which don't really have very often much relevance to a world that's dark that needs to be saved. And then let's look at another story, and then we're going to watch a video and wrap up. Let's look at this other story, John chapter 4. Would you go there with me? John chapter 4. It's this story about the woman at the well. We know the story really well, don't we? The person at the well in John chapter 4, verse 29. Here is this woman at the well. And what happened? She had a conversation with Jesus, didn't she? She had a conversation with Jesus. Just one moment. So I'm just finding, I've lost the... And there she is having a conversation with Jesus, and she heard the stories of Jesus. She heard that Jesus was living water. She heard that Jesus would have the power to transform her life. And then what happens in this story in John chapter 4, verse 29? It says this, "Come see a man who told me everything I've ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? You see, the woman at the well had a conversation with Jesus. And after she had that conversation with Jesus, what did she do about it? She went and told people about it. She said, "Come and see. Come and see. Come and have a conversation with this Jesus person. This person who I think could be the Messiah, who told me everything about myself. Come and have a conversation with him." And there wasn't a sense of testimony there. There was a sense of invitation. There was a sense of invitation. Come and see this person. I think he's the Messiah. And we know that he was the Messiah and is the Messiah. But actually, all of us in this room, if we love the Lord Jesus, we have Jesus living within us. Different understandings and in different ways, but we all have Jesus living within us. And if people are going to see Jesus in this world, maybe we need to say to them, come and see. Come and see. Invite them, people, into your life. Invite them to walk alongside you. Invite them for coffee. Invite them into your homes. Be creative of how you can think about being yourself, but inviting other people in to see who Jesus is. Well, I don't want them to come and see who Jesus is because Jesus in me is sometimes up and down and a bit wibbly-wobbly and all the rest of it. Well, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. But they'll see a desire in our heart to follow this person called Jesus, and they'll see in our heart that when we get it wrong and we fail him and we fall short of him, he's a God who forgives us and he's a God who takes care of us and he's a God that says, "Stand up again, I'll walk with you again." You know, that in itself is a powerful message to a world that says, you know what, if you fall down, you deserve it, stay in the gutter. You see, even though sometimes we think our lives aren't perfect, which I'll be honest with God and say mine isn't, but when I invite people closer to me, I pray that they may see something more of Jesus. The woman in the well, she went back to the town. She went back to the village and she could have just said, "Whoa, what a great experience I had." I just left it there. But she didn't. She said, "Come and see. Come and see what I've seen." Easter Sunday evening, we're going to baptize three people. I went to Alpha last week and invited every single person on Alpha to come and see that. Why? Because people who aren't vicars will stand on the stage, they will share what God has done, and it can't be denied. It's what God did. And they'll go through those waters of baptism, and they will say, I'm doing that because I've encountered Jesus. Nobody will script them to do it. Nobody will tell them what to say. They'll just say it how it is. Maybe are we going to be bold enough and strong enough and have enough faith this Easter to say to somebody, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Come and hear the volume of praise. Because obviously baptism says we all sing a little bit louder. Have you noticed that? Come and sing. Come and feel the praise. Come and feel the presence of God. Come and listen to the stories of transformation. Come and see young people and middle-aged people enter the waters of baptism and say, I was once lost, but now I'm found. And it's not some preacher standing up here saying, well, this is how it is. No, really. That's what he gets paid to say. Listen to the personal stories. Maybe for some of us, we need to be bold this Easter and say to somebody, come and see. Come and see. Or maybe some of us are too ashamed to invite people to come and see. Well, may God forgive you if you are. Because it's not all about this. It's about the presence of God. And I believe that in these last few weeks in this place, in the morning service, we have experienced the presence of God. And that's not deliberate. We have been intentional. As leaders, I've been intentional. As the senior leader, to speak about that God for more intimately and more longer every day. Because I know that sometimes the only way he's going to transform this place is if I just pray more for his presence to be here more. You see, the woman at the well, she said, come and see. She was invitational. So we come back to where we started. Paul or Peter, the blind man. I can't see without these things. The blind man or the woman at the well or Paul and Peter. All those four people were who God called them to be. With Jesus under their skin, and the blind man, who once was blind but now I see, Jesus then grabbed hold of his life. And it doesn't say much in the scripture, but I once read a book about what the blind man went on to do, written by another scholar of the day. It's amazing. I want to show you a video. It's 1 minute and 20 seconds long, and then I want to just finish off with a few words. Something that the Evangelical Alliance did a while ago. Do you hear that there's people there that want to talk about Jesus? So whose responsibility is it? It's your responsibility and it's my responsibility. We finished the series today, but we've gone through lots of different steps. We're going to come back to this later on in the year. But I want to encourage you. And it's up to you. I can't force you. I just encourage you. There's plenty of people that in our town, our friendships, our families, who may want to hear something about Jesus. We'll finish where we started, if the band could come up. We started by saying this: be yourself in Christ for the sake of the Christ. Do you know who you are in Christ? How's your relationship with Christ today? I urge you to deepen that relationship with Christ, that you could be Christ. It's not the day to be silent, church. And unfortunately, so many of us are. Because we might offend, or we don't have the boldness, and we're not courageous enough. There's people dying today because I haven't told them about Jesus. Maybe the same is true for you. God calls us to be ourselves, be yourself in the gospel for the sake of the gospel. This whole series isn't just because it's a good thing to talk about it. It's because I have faith that when I pray for my one, I've got three ones. My prayer is that they will see the face of Jesus this year. And tonight I went in the other day and took them some flowers and just keep loving them in their moment of difficulty. And my prayer is that something of us and Jesus in us, that they may ask that question one day, and I'll have the privilege to explain who Jesus is. Am I going to be bold enough to invite them to Easter Sunday evening? Are you sure? I'm going to do that. Absolutely I am. But you know and I know the people that are our ones. And you know and I know what we've done about it since we put that name on that piece of paper. You and I know, you and I, and also, well, I put mine on that. There'll be some of you in this room that haven't even put a person on that person on that board, because why? Why bother? Why bother? I'll tell you why bother. Because they deserve salvation. The whole world deserves salvation. It says in the gospel that Jesus Christ came to do what? Jesus Christ sent his only son to die for who? For the select? For the privileged? For the people we can be bothered to talk about? About Jesus? No. He came for every single person. And the only way every single person is going to hear about Christ and the gospel, if you and I had the courage to share it with them in our generation, in this time. We'll all say we want the church to grow. We'll all say we want to see new believers. We'll all say amen to that. And often we say, God, you just do it on your own and we'll just watch you do it. Now God says, that's not how it works. I have anointed you. I have called you. I have placed my spirit within you. I have given you the fruit of my spirit to live a different way. And I have called you to do it. But Lord, I'm so busy, Lord. I'm busy with my job, and I'm busy with my house, and I'm busy with DIY, and I'm busy this, and I'm busy that. I don't think God necessarily has the response that we want to hear when we say that to him. Jesus wants us to play our part. Would you stand? And I want to pray with us before we sing our final song, that actually we would have the courage and the boldness not to be Peter's and Paul's, not to be the blind man or the woman at the well, but to be you. Are you prepared to be you? Because you're the only one that can be you. Are you prepared to be you? You know why? Because God believes in you. Hear me for a minute. Look at me. God wants you to be you. And God wants me to be me. And if there's anybody who believes in us much more than anybody else in this world, it's Jesus. Jesus looks at you and he looks at me and he said, wow, that's my child. And I love them more than anybody else loves them. And I have greater plans for them than anybody else has plans for them. And we've already heard the testimony this morning of how good and faithful God is. And many of us could stand up on this stage and say, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your goodness. But we need not only receive that, we've got to share that with other people that need to know it, church. I don't want to go to heaven and sit there on my own and God say to me, Scott, well, I'm glad you're enjoying the seat, fella. What about all those other opportunities I gave you that you did nothing about it? Whoa. Let's share our stories. Let's share our testimonies. Let's share what God has done. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for each and every person stood this morning. And Lord, there'll be some that are listening. There'll be some that are saying, well, it's nearly time to go. But Lord, you have the power by your Spirit to break through every heart that is here this morning. And Lord, I pray for everyone that is standing here this morning, that you will help us today to be who God has called us to be in a way that is humbling, but in a way that is powerful for the sake of the gospel. Lord, it's no longer acceptable just to watch people live in darkness without presenting the gospel to them. So Lord, would you help each and every one of us in this room to be ourselves today? Would you help us to understand that you are pleased with us? There'll be some people that say, I don't want to be myself today because I'm not pleased with myself. Well, you know what? God says, God counteracts that and says, but I'm pleased with you. I love you for who you are. Just continue being you. So I pray a prayer of protection upon us today, that we wouldn't hear a voice that stops us being who God has called us to be. I pray against that in the name of Jesus, and I pray for protection on each and every one of us today. But I also pray that we would be bold enough to sing Hosanna, that we would be bold enough to declare Jesus, that we would be bold enough to stand up for our faith and for the truth and for the gospel and for Christ, because Christ stands up for us each and every day, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, for each and every one of our ones, for those of us who haven't got a one, but we've got friends and family who don't know you, would you help us to share Jesus with them? So Father God, as we sing this last song together this morning, and as we go from here, may we make a commitment to you this morning that we will be who you have called us to be, and we will trust and believe that you can use us powerfully to build your kingdom and to bring others to a place of seeing you face to face so that they can acknowledge you and receive salvation for themselves. Give us courage and boldness. Help us to be courageous and strong. And help us to be the people that God calls us to be. Amen. Let's sing this last song, would we?
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy
to be the disciples that you've called us to be. And would you bear much fruit because of that, Jesus? Would you help us to dispose of the things that so easily get in the way? And would you help us just immerse ourselves in the presence of Jesus being the best teacher we can be, to be the best person who's in the city, to be the best doctor, to be the best parent, but ultimately to be the best example to Jesus this week. Would you help us to do that? And would you help us not to be surprised when you open up conversations? So Jesus, by your power and for your glory and for your praise and for your honor, we go now to glorify your name and to be your disciples. Amen. As usual, tea and coffee and chat.